This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to put the sweet in sweetheart.
Today is the Sunday before Valentine's Day, but we want to talk about sweethearts. You know, I think it's amazing. We have Hershey over here, this multi-billion dollar company, and how do they make all their money? Selling chocolates and candies to people all around the world. Now think about this. Who needs chocolate? Nobody needs chocolate, isn't that right? You will not die if you don't have chocolate. No, this is not a necessity, but that company sells billions of dollars of chocolate every year. Why is it? Because chocolate is sweet. See, we like sweet things, amen? Everybody in here likes something sweet, isn't that right? Let me see the hand of anybody who doesn't like things that are sweet. Yeah, don't even try it. Amen. We all like things that are sweet. And that's why we have that word sweetheart. And so we want to talk about how to put the sweet in sweetheart. We live in a world that is always trying to pour lemon juice into your sweetness. Now, if you do it right, you can take that lemon juice and make lemonade. Amen? But if you do it wrong, how many of you take a bottle of real lemon, sit down with it, and go chug a lug lug lug? None of us, I think, probably take a glass of lemon juice and just drink it. Why? It is too tart. It is sour. It's not sweet. And the only way you can make lemon juice palatable is what? You got to sweeten it. You got to put some sweetness into it. A bear will go out in the forest, find a tree with a honeycomb in it. And what do you know that bear wants? He wants honey. Amen. Now, the bees have the opposite idea. The bees say, this is our honey, and we intend to keep it. So what do the bees do when the bear comes looking for honey? They swarm around him, and angry, they sting him. And they sting him, and they sting him all over and over and over again. But you know what that bear will do? In order to get to that honey, he will take the stings, because the sweetness is sweet. Amen? You see, that's how much we value something that's really sweet. We would go through all kinds of obstacles, go through all kinds of pain and suffering if what we're going to get out of it is something that's sweet. So that's what we want to talk about today. How is it that you can put sweetness into your relationship so that it stays sweet, it stays good? So that just like that bear, even when you have to suffer a little bit, you can get a smile on your face and say, I got me some honey. Well, let's look at the scripture. Go over to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. And it's going to give us a clue as to what we can do to keep the sweetness in our relationships. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Pleasant words are what can put sweetness back into your relationship. Go over to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Look at how this man spoke about his sweetheart. Pleasant words like a honeycomb. Look at this. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love, and the scent of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Man, did this guy have a rap or did he not? Got a rap. Amen. 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 But look at what made him love her so much. He said in verse 11, your lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue. What's he saying? Your tongue is sweet. I don't mean physically, but what? Her words are sweet. The way she talked to him was sweet. And because of that, man, she's got him wrapped around her little finger. You see, sweetness of words, it's the sweet words that make sweethearts. Words, the Bible says, words that make the difference. Pleasant words that are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. I think we instinctively know this. A few years ago, when Priscilla and I were getting ready, just before we got married, we were engaged at the time, I guess, because it was our first Valentine's Day, and I wanted to get a present for Priscilla. Now, being cheap, I didn't want to go buy one, so I decided to make one myself. And what I did was, I put together a CD that used a lot of that old, good old music. Now, believe it or not, preachers still remember Motown, you know. Amen. So I used some of those good old love songs. And the purpose of my CD was to tell Priscilla what I thought about her. Now, catch this. There was not a negative word on that CD. Amen. Everything I told her was pleasant, was positive. It was sweet. Amen. See, because I understood this thing. If I want to have sweetness, I got to put some sweetness in. Amen. And we instinctively understand that. When you're going through that courting process, what do? You talk good to that person, don't you? You look at all of the qualities of that person and you pick out the good stuff and you magnify the good stuff. And that's what you talk about. Why? Because you know they will respond to sweetness, and then you get married. I think for some of us, when we get married, they issue us a bottle of lemon juice right there at the wedding ceremony. Take this home and start using it. Suddenly we forget how to talk sweet. And because of that, the relationship can begin to sour. So let's talk about how it is that we can keep sweetness in our relationship. Look again at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 through 32. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let's start with the very first word in that sentence. Let, permit, allow. What does that tell us? It tells us that what comes out of my mouth is my choice. I have the choice about it. I cannot, if I'm going to have a sweet relationship, I cannot allow my emotions to dictate my words. Now, I have to tell you something. I know you'll find it hard to believe, but it's true. Sometimes I get frustrated with Priscilla. It actually happens. Now, the reason for that is she's only 98% perfect. If she just got that other 2%, I'd be fine. But there are times when I get frustrated with Priscilla. I'll give you an example. Now, see, Priscilla is the kind of person, I've told you this before, that she wants to be there ahead of time. Amen? Amen. And you know, here in Covenant Community, we emphasize being on time and everything, but it's not because it's natural to me. It is not natural for me. And so we'll be getting ready to go someplace, and I'll be rushing around trying to get it done because I'm already late, and Priscilla will call up, you know it's 8:30, and you know what I feel like saying? I know how to tell time. But then I stop and think, now wait a minute, what's she doing? She's concerned about me. She really wants to know, did I just miss the time the other day? Maybe, was it yesterday, whenever? I was rushing someplace, And Priscilla called me, and just, she called me on the phone from upstairs or from down, wherever she was, called me on the phone. Say, are you asleep? Did you forget what time it is? And, you know, being a man, sometimes we kind of react negatively to that kind of stuff. But I realized what she's doing is being concerned. She really wanted to make sure I didn't miss my appointment. And so when those things happen, instead of just letting my aggressive instincts come out, what do? I step back and say, wait a minute, this is my honey trying to be sweet. So what do I need to do? I need to be sweet right back. So when she asks me, do you know what time it is? I say, oh yes, thank you, I'm on my way. Amen. Now what happened? I had to let what came out of my mouth not be corrupt communication. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If I'm going to have sweetness in my relationship, I've got to remember to step back, not allow my own emotions to dictate what I say, but think about what is it that's going to be sweet? What's going to take this lemon juice and turn it into lemonade? The second thing it says in Ephesians 4:29, it talks about let no corrupt word come out of my mouth. No corrupt word. You know what that means? I have to evaluate my words for whether they are pure and sweet or whether they are corrupt. In other words, I have to evaluate them from the standpoint of the impact that they are going to have on the other person. Now, when we get upset and angry and frustrated, what is it that we want to communicate? I want to communicate that I am upset, angry, and frustrated. Isn't that right? But wait a minute, we have to stop and say, now, what kind of communication is this from the standpoint of the person who is receiving it? When I come to my honey, my sweetheart, and I am throwing out words of frustration, anger, and upsetness, if there is such a word, what am I putting into that relationship right now? Am I putting lemon juice in, or am I putting some honey into that relationship? You see, if I'm concerned about expressing and venting my own feelings, I'll say what I feel like saying. But if I am concerned not to allow any corrupt communication to come into the relationship, then I have to evaluate it from the standpoint of the person that's hearing that word. No corrupt communication. What's corrupt communication? Any word, it says in this passage, that instead of building somebody up, tears them down. Look at Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. What kind of words are those? Those are emotion words. Those are words that say, I just let my emotions overflow into what I say to somebody. And the word says, put it away. Don't let it happen. Don't let the way you happen to be feeling at the moment cause you to speak corrupt words. But then it says, put away evil speaking. Now, what is evil speaking? Let's talk about that for a moment. Look at James chapter 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. So when it talks about not speaking evil of one another, what's it talking about? It's talking about condemnation. Speaking a word of condemnation to somebody. Speaking that word of criticism that causes that person to feel condemned. That's what evil speaking is all about. If you got a sweetheart, you better learn to put away evil speaking. Look at Proverbs 15:28. Here's how we have to handle it. When our emotions are running high and we feel like saying something to vent our frustration and our anger. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. You see, we have to look at that person, that sweetheart, understand their nature, their character, and speak words that will bless them and build them up rather than words that will tear them down. Go back over to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. You want to see somebody who knows how to say sweet words. Song of Solomon, chapter 4. Now catch this. You have to know how to speak to your sweetheart so that it blesses him or her. Because what I might say to one person won't necessarily bless another person. Look at this. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Now think about this. Now this was high praise from him. High praise. But guys, how many of you have ever told your girlfriend, you know, you got hair like a goat? You see, you gotta choose what's going to bless the person that you're talking to. In that culture and in that time, he could say, man, your hair is like a flock of goats. And man, that turned her on. You say it to somebody today, you probably need to be saying goodbye at the same time. Amen? But the point is, he understood who he was talking to. He understood what was going to bless her. And so that's what he said with her. He keyed what he had to say to who the person was and the thing that was going to bless her. And so we want no corrupt word to come out of our mouth, but that word that builds up and edifies. In fact, that's what the next thing says, point number 3 in that verse. It says, only the words that are good for necessary edification. Words that are good for necessary edification. Go over to Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Have you known that person? I've known them. Every time they open their mouth, it's like the piercings of a sword. It's like they take a knife and they dig it into you because of the criticism, the condemnation that comes forth out of that person's mouth. And so if you're going to have a sweetness in your relationship, you can't have sweetness if you're the kind of person who speaks like the piercings of a sword. But look at the second half of that verse. Look at the second half of the verse. Instead of being a person who's got a sharp tongue, always got some criticism, always got something to tear somebody down. Instead of that, look at this. But the tongue of the wise promotes health. Man, isn't that good? You see, when we speak good words, when we speak words that build up, we actually promote the health of that person. We're having an impact on that person's life. Understand this. And this is the key thing that I'd like for you to understand today, if you don't get anything else. The words that you speak to somebody else are seeds that you are planting in that person's life. Amen. When you speak to somebody, whatever words that you speak, it's a seed that's planted. And what does the word tell us? Whatever a man sows, what? That he shall also reap. The way you talk to your sweetheart, the way you talk to your boss, the way you talk to your parents, the way you talk to your teachers, those are seeds that you are planting in that relationship, and one day they are going to bear fruit. And you need to ask yourself, what kind of crop do I want? What kind of crop do I want? If I'm planting seeds of anger and frustration, what kind of crop do you think I'm going to receive? Somebody just sent us a package of pumpkin seeds. And Priscilla said, well, maybe we'll plant those come spring. Now, I've never planted pumpkin seeds. And I don't know if we really want pumpkins. I'd rather have some watermelon, to tell you the truth. So I tell you what, Priscilla, let's go ahead and plant those pumpkin seeds. And we'll pray and we'll see if we can get them to come up as watermelon. Okay? Let's try that. How many of you think my plan's a good plan? No. No, if they are pumpkin seeds and I plant the pumpkin seeds and the water them and allow the sun to shine and everything, what's going to come up? Pumpkins. Amen. If I'm planting pumpkin seeds expecting watermelon to come up, I've got a problem. It's not going to work that way. And by the same token, if I am planting harsh words, angry words, words that attack, words that tear down instead of build up, and I am expecting my crop to come up as sweet, I've got a problem. It won't work that way. What I speak into that relationship are seeds that are going to bear fruit one day. So what is it that I should be expressing? The first thing is appreciation. How many of you like to be appreciated? If I don't see your hand, then I ain't going to bother appreciating you. Amen? All right. Amen. Look at Psalm 139, 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. How many of you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God? How many know that here today? Amen. Now catch this. Turn around, look at your neighbor. How many of you know that that person is fearfully and wonderfully made by God? You see, no matter what that person may have done, no matter how they may have offended you, no matter how they may have messed up, they are still fearfully and wonderfully made. Isn't that great? And I have a choice. Remember, it's my choice what words I'm going to speak. I can either speak to the fact that you just messed up and tell you what I think of your mess up, or I can speak to the fact that even though you messed up, you are still fearfully and wonderfully made. You see, if I remember how fearfully and wonderfully made you are, I can still appreciate you even when you've messed up. And so I need to major on words of praise and not words of criticism. They take surveys. I remember AT&T did a survey that said it takes something like 30 positive statements to a person to make up for one negative statement. I need to major on words of praise and not on words of criticism. Those words of praise, they need to be genuine, not flattery. Oh, no, no. God doesn't like flattery. In Proverbs 26, 28, it says, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. No, no, no. You don't flatter people. But what you do is you find the thing that you can genuinely appreciate, and that's what you focus on. Never criticize who a person is, but negotiate to change what they do. You always mess up in this way. Now, what does that say? You doofus, you dumb, you never get it right. Isn't that right? Instead, what can you say? Well, you know, honey, doing it this way hasn't really worked out that well. Let's see if we can find a different way to handle this situation. Totally different. See, I can negotiate to change your behavior without tearing you down as a person. So never criticize who a person is, but negotiate change in what they do. Luke 6:37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. We should not be in the business of judging and condemning one another. We don't have that right. Don't criticize who a person is. Negotiate change in what they're doing. We need to value the differences between us. Have you ever felt somebody trying to make you like they are? Ever felt that? They're criticizing everything that's different about you from the way they are. No, no. See, God made us different intentionally. Isn't that right? And when God brought Eve to Adam, he didn't make another man. What did he make? He made a woman. He made her different. Why? So that they could complement one another. She was supposed to be different from him. The thing that will bless us in the relationship is the things that are different. Somebody said if we were all, you know, both people in a relationship were the same, one of them is unnecessary. So we need to be valuing the difference because God is the one who put it in there. The next thing. You need to express absolute commitment and loyalty in your relationship. Genesis 2, chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In the King James Bible it says, he shall leave and cleave. Cleave to his wife. Wife, cleave to your husband. Forsaking all others, cleave to one another. What does that mean? You're absolutely committed to one another. Nobody can come in between you. There is no room for anything to get in between you in that relationship. And you have to reaffirm that and reaffirm that and reaffirm it over and over again. Every time you give the impression, if you don't do what I want you to do, I may be out of here. What are you doing? You're weakening the bonds of that relationship. We need to express absolute commitment and loyalty. Never threaten to leave in order to manipulate your sweetheart. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Here's the final thing I want you to see today. Our words need to impart grace to those who hear them. What is grace all about? Does anybody remember the definition of grace? It is unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That means they don't deserve it. That means you communicate what is good even though you may not feel they deserve the good. Proverbs 31:26 is talking about the ideal wife, the ideal woman. And here's what it says. It says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Man, isn't that great? She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. That means that she doesn't just speak a kind word every once in a while, but it's the law in her mouth. That's what comes out of her mouth normally, on a regular basis. It's the law of kindness. Colossians 4:6 says this, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. We need to ask the Lord to help us to speak sweetness. Let it be the law of kindness in our mouths. Let it be the law. Let it not just be every once in a while. Let it not just be when we're feeling good. Let it not just be when the person has done something that we really like. But even in the times when we're feeling angry and frustrated, afraid, upset, even in the time when they've done something that has offended us deeply. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. You want to have a sweet relationship with your sweetheart? Instead of focusing on failures and offenses, shortcomings, the things that haven't gone the way that you wanted them to go. Instead of that, by what you speak, let your love cover a multitude of sins. And if you do, it says the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. You'll have life in that relationship, and life will be sweet.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.